Last week we left off, we were discussing, I believe, at the end of last week's show, we were discussing time clocks, and we were discussing a little bit, we discussed last week, grumma issues, how to define grumma, what is grumma, an indirect causing of an action to occur. So tonight, before getting into refrigerators, and what I'll probably do is, as we go through, as we'll see, really for the next few shiurim, a lot of the issues that we'll be dealing with are really indirect issues, meaning that it's not that I want something to occur, and it's not that I'm flipping on a switch, it's that something is occurring through my action, whether I intend for it, don't intend for it to happen, but something else is happening along with an action that I'm doing. And the question is, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, how connected is that result, whatever else is happening on the side, the unintended result, how does that connect back to my action? Right? And we'll, as we go through tonight, I'll try to connect it all to a refrigerator and the discussion that the poskim have about refrigerators specifically. And as we go through these topics as a background to then move us forward towards the rest of the specific practical applications that we'll discuss. So the first one, again, like we discussed, that flipping on a switch, we assume, is my action, right? There were those who said maybe it's grumma, indirect, but most assume that that is connected to me. That's my action. But that's not the case in many cases. And so the most lenient of these indirect causative type of cases is something called the Davar She'eino Miskaven. The Davar She'eino Miskaven means, the Gemara discusses it in Beitza, if you're pulling furniture, and we've discussed this, I think, as we've gone along, but now I want to do it in a little bit more of an organized fashion. If you're pulling furniture across the ground in the backyard, and the backyard is very firm and very hard, it hasn't rained, it's not muddy, and it's just a chair, it's just a stroller, it's nothing too heavy, and you're pulling that item across the backyard, I have no intention of plowing my backyard. All I want to do is move my chair from one side of my backyard to the other side of my backyard. And I don't want to plow my backyard, or I don't care if I plow my backyard, but certainly my intentions are not that I should plow my backyard by pulling my chair. And it's likely that it won't make any type of indentation, any type of plowing of my backyard, because it's a regular chair, and I'm pulling it across a regular ground, and it's likely that nothing will happen besides for me moving my chair from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. Let's say, in the small chance that there is, that you pull your chair across your backyard, it's not a heavy chair, it's not a soft yard, and lo and behold, it makes a ditch in the ground. You see a mark in the ground, which is similar to the action on Shabbos, which is prohibited, of choresh, of plowing, digging, plowing. So the question is, am I responsible for that? Did I do something wrong? Should I have not pulled my chair across the backyard, because there was a small chance that it would make a ditch, and it did in the end. So should I not? Did I do something usser by pulling my chair across the backyard? So that's a machlokas in the Gemara in a number of places between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It's a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says you did something wrong. Rabbi Shimon says you didn't do something wrong, because since you did not intend for that act to happen, you didn't intend for there to be any type of plowing, and there was no reason for you to assume it was likely that it wasn't going to cause any plowing, therefore it is mutter. So just to give a practical example of that, and at the end we'll just pull everything together, but take, for example, again, connecting most of these things to a refrigerator. So a refrigerator, we know there's a motor in a refrigerator which keeps the refrigerator cool. Let's say, right, there is a chance that, my understanding of a refrigerator is that there's a thermostat in the refrigerator which maintains a certain temperature, and when the temperature reaches a certain degree, it goes up because of the hot air coming from the outside of the refrigerator. Every time you open it, some hot air goes in. So when the thermostat reaches a certain degree, it kicks on the motor. The motor starts, it recools the refrigerator back down to a comfortable degree, a comfortable level temperature for the refrigerator, and then the motor turns off again. So the question is, when I open the refrigerator door, so I'm letting hot air go in, or warm air go into the refrigerator, certainly during the winter when it's hot in the house, or even during the summer when it's hot in the house. So you have hot air going into the refrigerator, which is making the temperature of the refrigerator rise. So the question is, am I causing the motor to go on?
But isn't there a possibility that you opening the door is not what's causing the motor, but rather that the internal temperature has just dropped? Because the thermostat kicks in even when the doors are closed. So isn't there there's a possibility that your action that caused the motor, that the refrigerator could have just dropped the temperature?
True, yes. Yes, there is a possibility, but it's likely that by my opening the refrigerator, it's getting closer. I'm making it happen faster. But let's hold off on what I'm causing to happen. But let's say when I open the refrigerator, the motor does turn on. So did I do something wrong?
That's not why you opened the fridge.
That's not why I opened
the
fridge.
You opened the fridge to make the motor go on.
But it did go on. So that would be this type of case. And we'll get to but it will finally go on. We'll get to that. We'll make it a little bit more confusing as we go. But just to keep it simple at this point, just to make it interesting. But just to keep it simple at this point, so yes, I didn't intend to turn it on. I didn't open the refrigerator to turn on the motor. I opened the refrigerator to take a drink out of the refrigerator. And an unintended action occurred as well. The motor turned on. So the motor turned on, and it's likely that every time I open the refrigerator, the motor doesn't turn on, right? Every time I open the refrigerator, it's not so exact. Maybe they're getting more and more exact. But in a regular refrigerator, the thermostat is not so exact that every time I open the refrigerator, the motor kicks on. Let's say one every 10 times I open the refrigerator, the motor goes on. So you see that it's a davrshin miskaven. It's unlikely that it will occur. I have no reason to assume that when I open the refrigerator, the motor will turn on, and therefore I would be allowed to open. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter, that a davrshin miskaven is mutter, that if I would be allowed to open the refrigerator, even though there is a chance that my opening the refrigerator will also cause the motor to go on. Just like on a regular ground outside, I would be allowed to pull a regular chair or push a regular stroller on a regular firm ground because it's likely that nothing will occur. There's a small chance that it will make some type of indentation, but since it's unlikely and I don't intend for that, I'm not doing it to make any type of indentation, that it would be mutter. That's a davar she'ein miskaven. One step further would be, let's say it will for sure happen. That second unintended result will definitely occur. Right?
Let's say you have a whole slew of stuff to put into the refrigerator that you know is going to take you a few minutes. It's not just a quick open and close the door.
Right.
Or the light going on in the fridge for sure.
Right, so let's take the light. I have a light in my refrigerator, because that's a good question. That's a question that we'll have to deal with. I'm not sure. There are some who say that you should try not to leave the refrigerator open for too long, right? But we'll see as we go along.
My mom always said that.
What?
My mom always.
Your mom, there you go. I didn't say some rabbis. So there are some who say, yes. Well, maybe, only if you turn the motor on.
I don't know.
Anyway, so let's say the light. I know there's a light in there. And I know that I didn't undo the light before Shabbos. And I know that when I open the refrigerator, the light goes on. So, and now it's Shabbos. I'm not allowed to turn the light on Shabbos. But I can make a case that I don't want to turn the light on Shabbos, or I don't care if the light goes on. It's fine that it does. I'm happy that it goes on, but I'm not opening the refrigerator to turn on a light. If I wanted a light on in the room, I would turn on the lights in the room. But I want to open my refrigerator. So my intentions are to open my refrigerator. It happens to be that it will definitely also turn on the light, so is that allowed? Can I still open my refrigerator? So that's what the Gemara calls a psik resha. Right. Did I discuss this last time?
No.
Okay. Now I don't remember what I discussed.
I mentioned
the psik resha. So what a psik resha means in the Gemara is that if you the Gemara discusses a psik resha v'lo yamus, which is the saying, is that if you cut a chicken's head off and you say that I'm not doing it to kill the chicken, I'm doing it to give my child a toy. I want my child to have a new toy before, yeah. Before Christmas. Or I wanted to give my dog a chicken's head, a treat. I wanted to give the dog a chicken's head. So I'm cutting it off to do something else with this chicken's head. Not to kill the chicken. Of course it's going to kill the chicken, but I'm not doing it to kill the chicken. So there's an unintended result of shockingly, the chicken dies also when I cut the chicken's head off. So that, the Gemara says, everybody agrees, is usur. That you cannot do, because it will for sure happen. And it's a question of what is, how for sure does it have to be that we can say it will for sure happen. 100% of the time that you cut the chicken's head off, the chicken will die, right? And 100% of the time, as long as the light bulb works, that you open the refrigerator door with the light bulb in there, the light bulb will go on as well. So let's assume for now that it means really almost all the time. So here, almost all the time, the chicken will die all the time. That is usur. The question is why? Again, I didn't intend to kill the chicken. So why then am I held responsible for killing the chicken? I didn't intend to kill the chicken. The same way, I didn't intend to make any type of indentation in the ground by pushing my stroller across the ground. So why then am I held responsible for the chicken but not for the ground?
Well, the chicken, you didn't need to give the, you know, the dog a toy at
right.
that moment. You know, you could have waited till tomorrow, you know.
So that's
as
true.
To, you know, for a refrigerator where it's something you need.
Oh, you're saying in the refrigerator.
Matter of need, you're saying.
But let's yeah, still fine. Let's say.
Why?
Well,
you need to drag your stroller across the
yard. Well, you need to, you've got to send your kid to shul.
Or let's say it's a chair. You don't need to sit in the shade. You'd like to sit in the shade. They don't need to sit in the shade. It would still be mutter.
You want
to. It would still
you
be mutter.
So,
can
but according to that,
yeah.
then you need food on Shabbat.
Right.
You need the food on Shabbat. You have to open your
mouth.
You're
not
Well,
oh, right.
Right. You know.
Okay. So there are questions. If let's say
no
the only food you have is in a refrigerator with a light on, what do you do? So that's a separate question that I'm not going to deal with tonight because it gets into questions on Amir La'akum, asking a non-Jew and how to ask and if you could ask and hinting all those good details, gory details of Amir al-Akam that I don't want to get into now because that will bog us down even further. No, not necessarily. Not if it causes a malacha d'oraisa. If it causes an iser d'oraisa, for example, turning on an incandescent light bulb in the refrigerator, then it's an iser d'oraisa. Yeah. The psik reisha takes on the personality. The halachic status of the psik reisha takes on the halachic status personality of the unintended action. So the reason why they're different, there are two reasons that are offered by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who was a Rav in Baranovich and was killed in the Holocaust, murdered in the Holocaust. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes that there are two different ways, just in theory, to view why a psik reisha will be usur and a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. So he says as follows. He says, either you can say that it's as if when I cut the chicken's head off, or when I open the refrigerator, and I know that it's going to turn that light on, it's as if I wanted to turn the light on. Halachically, we can consider it as if I wanted to do the second action as well. Not only did I want to open my refrigerator to get my food, but it's as if I also intended to turn on the light. That's one way of looking at it. And that's why it would be different. I wouldn't say I intended to make a hole in my ground by pulling the chair across the ground, because I didn't intend for that to happen. I didn't expect for that to happen. But when you expect something to happen, we say it's as if you intended for that to happen. The other way of looking at it is just more theoretically, you take the two actions that occur, the result that you wanted, the action that you wanted, and the unintended action, and you put them together as one and call them one action. That they're connected, you can't disconnect them, they're considered one action. Right? What's the difference between these two? Right? What's the difference between whether I tell you that it's as if you wanted to turn the light on, or it's as if turning the light on and opening the refrigerator is one action? The difference would be, let's say I specifically don't want that unintended result. Let's say it would be a negative result. Let's say there's something that you would tell me it's as if you intended for the second result. I would say, no, it's not. I don't want that to happen. Right? So you can't tell me, just because halacha says that it's as if you had intention for that second action, if it's something which is against my will, something which is bad for me, so you can't tell me that I wanted that. You can't tell me that it would be something that it's as if I wanted that to happen. What would be an example of that? Uh, trying to think of an example.
Okay. So, you mean optometrist? One of my patients is very light sensitive. Like father thing. He opens the fridge, he wants to eat, but the light irritates his eyes.
Okay.
That really happened.
Does that really happen?
Yeah, it can really happen.
Okay, so there you go. Thank you. See, it's good we waited for you.
I like it.
Have some more. Right, exactly. So let's say it would actually be negative, and it would really be something which hurt you. Like in this case, it really hurt a person's eyes to have the light on in there. So in that case, he would say, you can't tell me it's as if I wanted to turn the light on. It's bad for me. It's unhealthy for my eyes. As opposed to the other way of understanding it, that if you were to tell me that by my opening the refrigerator and the light going on are considered one action, so it doesn't matter whether I want it or not. Whether I want the light on or not, it's still one action. It's still considered one. And therefore, it would still be usur. Okay, so that's a psik resha. I kind of veered off a little bit into a psik resha delo nechale. Psik resha delo nechale means, let's say I don't want that second result, right? Let's say I don't want the light. Or the Gemara discusses a case of where I'm squeezing out a rag, potentially according to one opinion, I'm squeezing out a rag to plug up a hole in a barrel, and the unintended result, when I do that, it already has wine in this rag, so when I squeeze the wine into the barrel to plug up the hole, I'll also be squeezing the wine out of this rag, and therefore the wine will be coming out. That's one of the prohibitions also of schlita, of squeezing, of extracting the wine from this rag, so that would be forbidden. But I don't intend for that to happen, and actually I'd rather it not happen, because now it's going and landing on the floor. So I don't want the wine to land on the floor. I'd rather have the wine in the rag, and then I'll pull out, I'll squeeze it onto my cup at some point. But I don't want it on the floor. So would that be prohibited or not? So, or the case that, like Seth mentioned, that the person who has very sensitive eyes and he doesn't want the light on. So in that in those cases, that's also a machlokas. The machlokas in Tosus quotes an opinion of the Aruch, who's one of the authors of the Baalei Tosus, and the Aruch says that it would be mutter, because since you don't derive any benefit, and actually you don't want that second result to occur, you don't want the light to go on if it hurts your eyes, you don't want to lose that wine. So he would say, you can't tell me it's as if I wanted it, and therefore he says it's the same as a davar sheino miskaven, which is the first case that we discussed. It's not a psik resha. It will 100% happen, but since I don't want that second result, it's as if it's like a davar sheino miskaven. Tosus disagrees. Tosus disagrees and says that no, it doesn't matter if you want it to occur, you don't want it to occur, it's considered a psik resha, and it's as if it's one action. He doesn't say it in those words. But he says, it's as if it's one action, and it doesn't matter if you wanted it to happen, it doesn't matter if you didn't want it to happen, you are held responsible for both the first action, which was mutter, opening the refrigerator, and the second action of the light going on, even if you specifically did not want it to go on. Now, where it gets really tricky and confusing is...
What's the halacha? If you have let's say a closed package of food, right, and you want to open it on Shabbos,
mm-hmm.
but opening it, you'll force you to rip the letters or
mm-hmm.
Rip the packaging and go that direction,
mm-hmm.
right? Can you open the package on Shabbos?
Well, that
if you're gonna open food, right, and it's a package,
yeah.
Right,
and it will definitely rip letters.
Definitely, you have no option. Can you still open it? It's a party meal.
I would say probably not, according to the most.
But you can't.
Because
okay.
You can't rip letters. The question of when it's for food, you'd be able to open the package. That's also a whole question on Shabbos. What you're allowed to open on Shabbos? Can you open bottles on Shabbos? Can you open cans on Shabbos? Can you open bags on Shabbos? Everything is a question, and that they require shiurim on themselves. You ask. But ripping letters though. I'm trying to remember if there is an opinion who says that it's okay. But I think most assume. I don't think so.
No,
all
right.
So. I wouldn't rip letters on top.
See, if you had like the wrapping across this food platter on top.
Yeah.
With that, so there are letters here that were ripped.
Right.
Right. So that.
But that is, this is ripped already.
No, but I'm saying, let's say it wasn't. Let's say.
And then you.
Went across the top.
And then you reconnect.
You can reconnect it.
Right. So that's a question. If it's a reconnection,
right.
That's a question as to whether maybe that would be more lenient. But if it's to cut in the middle,
right.
The letters in the middle, that would be more problematic. If it's reconnect, you know, they have some of the parochas on the Aron Kodesh, not in ours, but in some shuls on the Aron Kodesh. So the parochas is. Two parts, and in the middle they have a word across them, and when you open the Aron you separate the words,
right.
Or you separate sometimes a letter, right? It's I don't know, whatever, pick some words and put the Shabbat Shalom on the Kimi Tzion Tetzei Torah, and in the middle of the Reish, and you're breaking the Reish. So that the post can discuss as to whether that would be problematic because you're breaking a word or you're breaking a letter, you know. But that's already in not permanent fashion. That's already been broken. Put it back together. Take it apart. Put it back together. You know, that's a little bit different. But in the case where it's in a permanent fashion, where you know that would be
okay.
A little bit
by
more
the way,
common.
You could use the example of dragging the chair in your yard, because when you like drag a chair and you pause like a ditch or whatever, and afterwards, if you want to make your yard look nice, then you're going to have to go and kind of fill it in to make. You really don't want that to happen.
Right.
So you don't want to drag a chair and. Make
you're
that
saying it's a negative
right.
Result.
Like you were looking for
right.
An example.
Yeah.
You don't want it. That's
right.
Actually
right.
An example.
Yeah, it's good.
Right.
Drag,
but back in the time
chair.
Of the Gemara, people wanted it.
Right. That's true.
Most people wanted.
They liked plowing. They were plowing fields back then. We don't plow our yard. We try to keep them green and grass.
I have another question. I mean, having animals will eat your grass and shall with that problem?
What?
Your animal.
Yeah.
Your animal.
Mowing your lawn.
Mowing your lawn.
I understand that and how some help the shop is going to be better. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. It's different there. Yeah. No, yeah. I think it'd be okay. You can't push his head down to graze, but you know, if it has to go out to graze. And as it discusses, the pasuk says that you're not allowed to have your animal work.
Not even.
Right? One of the things that the pasuk says is that shvisas behema, that you're not allowed to have your animal work. So the question is always asked, what do you mean? You're going to make your animal sit in the doghouse all day and cramped up? That's worse than letting him work. So the answer is no, you're not allowed to have your animal work for you. But the animal's allowed to graze on his own and eat his grass if that's what the animal would like to do. That's the animal's grass. I wouldn't walk around with a leash pushing it down, you know, get in lines, you know, walking across your field.
Or give him the very known command, mow.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Can't say, but if it does, and it ends up being, oh, look at my lawn, now I don't get a gardener. So then you should spread the word around and lend out your dog or goat, whatever you have. And make some money off of it. Okay, so good. So now we know what a Dovr Sheni Miskaven is. We know what a Psik Reish is. We know what a Psik Reish of the Lo Nechale is. Now, we've been assuming up until now, I haven't mentioned what we're causing to happen. We've just been giving general examples, like going on, the plowing the ground, and the motor going on. But the question is, and there are different opinions about this, what does it matter if the second unintended result is an Isser Midirabanan, a rabbinic prohibition, or a Torah prohibition? Does that matter? Certainly a Torah prohibition, all that we've discussed up until now would be true about a Torah prohibition. So the light turning on, let's assume that it's an incandescent bulb, so that would be a prohibition Midoraisa, a Torah prohibition. So fine, that would certainly be Usser, if it's a Psik Reisha, everybody would agree. But what if it's a fluorescent bulb in there? Right, and I think most lesson bulbs now would probably, without the sparks, be considered an Isser Midirabanan, a rabbinic prohibition. So what if there's a fluorescent bulb in your refrigerator? And it will for sure turn on your fluorescent bulb when you open your refrigerator. Is that Usser? Or because it's only causing an Isser Midirabanan, a rabbinic prohibition, then it would be Mutter. So that's a discussion. There are different opinions about this. Most assume that it would be usher, because it shouldn't make a difference between Daraisa and Darabanan. If the rabbis, we have a general rule that called the Tikkun Darabanan Kein Daraisa Tikkun. That whatever the rabbis made a law and enacted a decree, they patterned it after a Torah law. They didn't just come up. Most of the rabbinic decrees are not patterned after nothing. They're patterned after a Torah law. So Kein Daraisa Tikkun, it should be no different if it's an Isser Midarabanan or an Isser Midaraisa. And that's basically what we assume. That it doesn't matter if it's a Dirabanan or a Daraisa. But there is an opinion who says that a Dirabanan would be more lenient. Take it one step further. Let's say it's a Psik Resha on a Dirabanan, right? You're opening your refrigerator and the fluorescent bulb is going on, and you're the type of person with the sensitive eyes that you don't, is hurting your eyes. And you don't want it to go on. So it's a psik resha delo nichale. It's a psik resha that you don't want to happen. Or I specifically don't want my garden in my yard to be plowed. Or I don't want when I push my stroller to kill my grass. In that case, where it's a psik resha, it will definitely happen because it's a very heavy stroller and it's a muddy backyard, but I don't want there to be holes in the backyard that people would fall. But so it's a psik resha, it will for sure happen. But I don't want it to happen, and it's only causing an Isser Midarabanan. So in that, there
are flow chart.
I know. I don't have a board here. I need a smart board. So, but you see what we're doing here is that there are all of these different conditions and situations that there's an opinion here, there's an opinion there, there's an opinion here, an opinion there. And we assume by most of them l'chumra. We assume by most of them that they're usher. Certainly by a regular psik resha is usher. Everybody agrees. A psik resha d'lo nichale, we agree. Most assume that it's usher midirabana. Right? That Yoshua would be midirabana. A psik resha d'lo nichale, even if it's causing an isser midiraisa. A psik resha on the dirabanan is usher. We assume a psik resha. To lo nichale, a psik resha that I don't want that second unintended result, and it's only causing an isser midirabanan. There already, there's a bigger discussion. There already, the two sides are closer to being, you know, that there are significant amounts of opinions on both sides.
So it's almost like a sfeik of.
Well, so right, see, meaning when we have all of these different, right, when we have so many. You know, there's an opinion in this one that it's mutter, there's an opinion in this one that it's mutter. You put them together, now more people would say it's mutter, right? There's an opinion that says a psik resha delo nechale, a 100% unintended result that I don't want. There's an opinion that says mutter. Most assume usher, but opinion says mutter. And when it comes to a psik resha on a derabana, meaning I want the unintended result, I'm happy with the unintended result, but it's only causing isser midirabanan, most assume that it's usher, but there is an opinion that says mutter. Now put those two together, a psik resha delo nichale, I don't want the unintended result, together with the psik resha on the derabanan, and put it together to make where it's causing an isser midirabanan that I don't want. You put those together, and then there are more opinions that say that it would be mutter, right? And again, all of this matters because, for example, we just had the shiur on Thanksgiving morning about security cameras. So we discussed the new security cameras in the shul about using them on Shabbos and whether it's a problem to be seen on the security cameras on Shabbos. So one of the main reasons why many poskim, or most poskim, allow these type of things is, first of all, you know, there are cameras all over the place. We're being videotaped by Google Earth all the time. And, you know, by the Kotel, they have the Kotel cam. Even if they turn it off on Shabbos, they have the security cameras all around the Old City. And there were those, they say that Rabbi Yoshev said that you can't go to the Kotel for some time when they put these cameras in. But most people, I don't know if I think he retracted, I don't know, but most people go because there are many opinions. And there are different reasons for it. But one of the main reasons for it is that the only prohibition that I'm violating when I'm on camera, on a security camera, is that it's causing some type of writing somewhere, whether it's on a screen or whether it's in a computer memory. It's causing some type of writing, quote-unquote writing. Right, let's call it writing for now.
What are the chances it's going to be used anyway?
But it's there. But it's there.
But it gets created. They'll be recorded over.
It will be, right. It does, that's true, but let's say it won't. Right, let's say it won't. It might, that's true, but 30 days already could be considered as if it's permanent. Meaning, when it's also, because when it's saved, it can last forever like that. Right? It won't last forever because it will continue taping and finally will erase. But as is, it can last forever. Right? So that's the question, whether that's considered lasting forever or not. That as it is, it can last forever. Right? If I write in a pen, an erasable pen, I write something on Shabbos. So if I leave it there, it will last, let's say, forever. I can erase it in 3 minutes. So was that a writing which is considered a writing that can last forever or not? Right? So probably is, because it is a writing that can last forever, even though I will erase it. So this might be the same. But let's assume it's writing somewhere. And that's a question whether it's being saved on the memory and on the screen, and that's writing. But let's assume it's writing midrabbana. It's rabbinic type of writing. So then there are those who say that it's considered a psik resha, because all I want to do is I want to walk into shul. And when I'm walking into shul, unintended but 100% result, side action will be that I'm being videotaped. So it's a psik resha, but lo nechale, because I don't care to be on the camera. In fact, I'd probably rather not be on the camera. And even the owners of the house or shul that have this camera aren't interested in seeing me on the camera. They just want to see if somebody damages or does something, tries to break into the shul. They don't care if I get caught on the camera on a regular Shabbos, right? So it's lo nechale, and I don't want to be on that camera either. So it's a psik resha. Delo nechale, because I don't want it to happen, on an iser midrabanan. So in that case, there are many who say that that's why they're allowed on Shabbos.
Isn't there like an issue of like misasik, that you're not even doing?
So misasik means I don't even know what's happening.
You know, it's like, right, so like you're walking, you're not trying to see.
So good, that might work the first time. Right. There's another concept called misasik, which means that if I'm walking somewhere and all of a sudden, poof, a light goes on, or poof, I'm being videotaped, and I don't know that I'm being videotaped, so I'm not doing anything wrong.
But like when you're being videotaped, in other words, you're doing something. You're pulling a chair across the lawn, so you're doing something.
Right.
Right. You're pulling the chair. It happens to be also created a ditch. So it's an action that has multiple levels to it.
Right. And I'm doing it with my hands.
Okay.
On the object.
Walking into a room and a video camera happens to be painting a picture of me, I'm not doing this, I'm not painting the picture. The video camera happens to be in there, does something.
Right. But you're causing it to paint the picture by walking into the room.
It's like walking into a room that has a motion detector light.
Right.
Whatever.
Which
you
we'll talk about.
Bathroom, I think you go in and the light goes on.
Right.
Because you went to the bathroom.
Right. So we'll have to talk about that next week. But yes, exactly.
Right.
The same type of thing.
Right.
I'm not doing anything. So there is another. Yeah, there is a svara like that. I think I'll probably save it for next week because it is getting late. So I'll probably save that svara for next. There is a Rashba that people like to quote, that it has to do with that I'm doing something over here and something usher is happening over there, that I'm not doing it with my hands, as opposed to, like you're saying, the case of pulling the bench where I'm doing it with my hands. But and that is another, you know, another contributing factor to, in the end, say, well, we have all of these reasons to say possibly that it's mutter, that it's enough to say mutter, right? A lot of times, and that's why we needed to go through all of these introductory concepts, because a lot of these cases are going to be, well, there's this reason to be lenient, and there's this reason to be, it's usser, but we have all of these reasons added up to be lenient that it's enough, that you could be lenient. So there's just one more that I wanted to mention. And that is, let's say, it's called a suffix psik resha, or psik resha l'sha'avar, which means, let's say I have a box, right? And I'm not sure if there's a bug in this box or not. Right? There might be an insect in there. I'm not sure. Can I close the box, or close the container, that if there is the insect in there, I'll be catching it. And I'm not allowed to catch anything on Shabbos. But I'm not sure if there's anything in there. So if it's in there, it's a psik resha. All I want to do is close the box. I'm not interested in catching the insect in there. All I want to do is close the box. But there might be nothing in there, in which case, of course it's mutter to close the box. But there might be something in there. And if there is something in there, then I'm for sure, it's a psik resha, then I'm going to do something wrong by closing the box. So what is that? Is that like a psik resha that we said is an usher? Or is that like a davar she'eino miskaven, where it's a suffix? right? The case of pulling the chair across the backyard where it's not clear if, I'm not sure, I have no reason to assume, it might make a dent in the ground, it might make something in the ground, but it probably won't. So to here, it might have bugs in there, might not have bugs in there. Can I close it or not? Right? Let's say a garbage can. Can I close the garbage can, right, the outside or not? Or, connecting it to a refrigerator, let's say I don't remember if I took the light out, if I disconnected the light in my refrigerator. I might have, usually I do, but I don't. I come home from school, I say, I do not remember what happened today. Such a short Friday, I have no idea if I disconnected the light or not. So, am I allowed to open the refrigerator? If the light's off, then all I'm doing is opening the refrigerator. But there's a chance that the light's on, in which case I'll be opening the refrigerator and turning the light on. So is that like a psik resha? Like, is it the same as if I knew for sure that the light was on? And when I open the door, it will turn the light on and I will be violating a prohibition? Or do we say because it's a suffix that it's like a davar she'eino miskaven and it's more similar to turning the motor on, which might happen, might not happen? So that's the question. There are also two opinions about that. The Taz, who is one of the classic commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, was printed next to the Shulchan Aruch in most of the standard editions of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Taz says that it is more similar to a davar she'eino miskaven, because since when I don't remember, because I don't remember if the light's on or not in the refrigerator, it's a suffix. So the same way, when I have regular ground and a light chair or a stroller and I pull it across the ground, it's a suffix. It's a question, a doubt as to whether it will do anything usher. So to here, when I open the refrigerator door, it is a doubt as to whether it will do anything usher, because I don't know if the light is on. There's an opinion of Rabbi Akiva Eger who disagrees. And he says no, because here, on the side that you're wrong, it will 100% turn the light on. Right? If the light's in there, so then it will 100% do the Isser. So it's different than a Psik Reisha. It's different than a Davar She'eino Miskaven, and therefore he thinks that it's Isser. The Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, they write like the Taz. So there is, you know, a machlokas about this, how exactly we paskin in that type of situation. Those are and then there's a Melach She'eino Tzricha L'Gufa, which I think we did discuss at some point, which means that you're doing the act, but for, let's say, just to keep it simple, for a different purpose than it was done in the Mishkan. Right? In the Mishkan, they dug in order to build, so I'm digging because I want the dirt, not because I want to build. So it's the same act as a Torah prohibition, but it's for a different result, for a different reason. Which again is at least only an Isser Midrabbana. Even though the act is a Torah act of digging, if I'm doing it for a different reason, it's an Isser Midrabbana. So those are just background, which I thought we would do like the first week, I think. I don't remember. Or maybe the second or third week. You know. But those are background concepts that we will now need to know and be familiar with as we go through. Like when we're walking on the street and all of a sudden the light turns on in somebody's driveway, am I responsible for that? Can I walk by it the next time? Or I go into a bathroom in a hotel and poof, the light goes on. Can I leave the room? Did I turn that light on? Is that my fault? Right, all of those questions, they're not so cut and dry that it's connected directly to me. So just to run through the refrigerator, because we have to do the refrigerator this week. Just, we mentioned most of these halachas already. So the refrigerator, we mentioned the light, right? That it's a psik resha, which means that it's 100%, it will go on. Therefore, if the light is on in the refrigerator, I can't open the door. There are those who try to claim that because it's Shabbos, and I know that by turning the light on Shabbos, I'm violating Shabbos, it should be considered lo nechale. It's as if I don't want that result. But that's not such a strong, it doesn't really have such strength, that argument, because the fact that you really do want the light to go on, right, which is why you have it in there during the week, because you prefer to have the light in there because it allows you to see the refrigerator better. Just because it's Shabbos today, just because it's Asar on Shabbos, you can't say, well, now I don't want it. And in order to define it as a psik resha that I didn't want to happen. So it's a psik resha, and therefore if the light is on, we need another shir to talk about what to do then. But you can't open the door, that's for sure. There are some, then there's the issue of the fan. there are some refrigerators that have, just like they have a switch for the light, they have a switch for the fan in the refrigerator, which circulates the air. And when you open the door, the switch comes down and the fan turns off every time, or almost every time, because it depends on when the motor's on and off. But almost every time, if the fan is on, when I open the door, it will turn the fan off, and when I close the door again, it will turn the fan back on. I assume it's a safety feature because the fan is exposed in some of these refrigerators.
I think it's that they don't want the air to go out.
Go out?
Well, you can do it.
It could be. I always assume it's a safety feature because the fan is in there. And what? Ovens also, yeah. We're not going to get to ovens today. But yes, ovens like that also. Ovens you can't use, usually you can't use on Shabbos. There are some circumstances. If you leave it in there from Erev Shabbos and things like that. But then
you're fixing your light problem by taping the thing that the door goes off anyhow.
So you should tape also the fan.
Well, I'm saying it's the thing, you know, if you're taping the thing that pops out when the door opens.
Yeah,
it's
the same thing. So. Yeah, for sure. And then that keeps the fan on all the time. Just watch your fingers. The question is, if you didn't do that, so the fan going on and off, according to most, would only be an Isser Midrabbanan, right? That was our first shiur about what's wrong with using electricity. So let's assume that it's an Isser Midrabbanan to turn a fan on or off. So then it's a psik resha on an Isser Midrabbanan, right? Which at least is less serious than a psik resha than on turning on a light, but it's still usser, according to most opinions. There's one opinion that would say that it's mutter, but most opinions would also say that was usser, and therefore the eitzah, the advice would be to tape. Just like if you tape the light, you should also tape the fan so that it will just stay on all the time. The motor, as we discussed, there are some who say that you can't open the refrigerator. There are some who say you can't open the refrigerator at all. Motor on, motor off, doesn't matter. Let's leave that out for now because it's just late already and to explain that. Let's assume that there are two, I mean, there is an opinion that says that you can't turn, not to say that that's a completely wrong opinion. I didn't mean to make it sound like it. It's just we don't have so much time now. It's already late. So we'll just leave that on the side. Maybe we'll come back to it another time. But there is an opinion that says that that you can only open the refrigerator when the motor is running. And if the motor is off, so then I have to be concerned that I'm going to open the refrigerator, the hot air goes in, and I'm causing the motor to go on. If the motor's on already, so then I'm not so concerned because all I would be doing is letting more air in and keeping it on. That's the reason why there are some who say that you can't use it at all, because even keeping it running for longer might be a problem. But let's assume that's okay, because you're just maintaining status quo. So then that's why some say only open it when the motor is on. Now, I think that a more prevalent opinion in many communities that we're familiar with is that we do use a refrigerator on Shabbos. When the motor is on or off. And there's certainly poskim who allow this and say that this is allowed. The reason being, all of the reasons that we've been discussing, that turning the refrigerator, to cause the motor to go on, first of all, it's not so clear that it's even my action. Because maybe it's grumma, right? Because one of the opinions is grumma is that it doesn't happen immediately. There's a time gap. So it may not happen. When I open the door, it may not turn on right away. Second of all, it might only be a davar she'eino miskave, because I don't intend to turn the motor on, and it's not going to go on every time I open it. It's actually unlikely that when I open the refrigerator, it will cause the motor to go on, because 9 times out of 10, it doesn't cause the refrigerator to go on. Plus, causing the motor to go on, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes, is only an Isser Midrabbanan. Right? Even to turn on, if there was a button to turn on the motor of the refrigerator, there's no heating element there. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was of the opinion that the only time using electricity would be a violation of a Torah prohibition is if you're using if there's a heating element in the electrical device, like an oven, like a heater. But if it's just an electrical device, it would only be in the Isser Midrabbanan. So already you're starting off on a lower level prohibition. So then, with all of these things, and maybe it's the type of with all of these different factors, that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that you would be allowed to open the refrigerator on Shabbos. I believe that everybody agrees that you can close the door when the motor is off. Right? If the motor is off, you'd be allowed to close the door. Right? If the motor is on, so then also you can close. even if the motor is on. I'm sorry, when it's on, everybody. When it's off, everybody agrees. When it's on, that might be a question, right? I can see it being a question, because by closing the door when the motor's on, I'm going to cause the motor to go off sooner, because I'm keeping the cold air in. It's open, the door is open, and the hot air is coming in, and the motor will run for the next 10 minutes. But if I close the door, it will run only for 3 minutes. So isn't that like I'm turning it off earlier? So the answer is no. Everybody agrees that you can close the door. Because in that case, you're not really doing anything to the motor. All you're doing is preventing the hot air from coming in. It's like you're putting up a wall in front of the refrigerator to stop the hot air from entering, but you're not really doing anything to the motor. And therefore, they just make the distinction, the posting makes the distinction between opening it where it might be more connected to my action that I'm letting the hot air in and possibly causing the motor to go on, as opposed to when I'm closing it, that there all it's doing is preventing air to go in and not turning off a motor.
And that's why the difference between a timer is that we actually are doing a MISO, we're actually putting something in the mechanism.
Right.
That's why that would be a problem.
That would be at least grumma, right. By a timer, to put something in a time clock would be at least grumma, because there I'm doing something. Even if you're going to tell me it's preventing the electricity to go, but I'm doing something, it's more I'm stopping the electricity, because that's going to click it off. As opposed to here, I'm stopping the air from coming in, and then it will go off later at some point, but it's not really, I'm not turning anything off. Yeah. Any other questions about the refrigerators? I think that's the whole refrigerator. Not the freezer. The freezer is
I know, just one little question. What about fridges with LED lights? Because all the new ones now are LED.
What do you mean?